Well, there once was a time when in my heart I was condemned to die. I was walking in my sinful, sinful way. Well, Jesus paid the ransom for my soul. I bade this world goodbye. When he calls me, I'll fly, fly away. Well, when he calls me, I will answer, here am I am ready. If he wants me to die, there's a mansion now awaiting me on high. I am going there by and by. I have made my preparation. Fly, fly away. Well, I could never think of turning back into this world of sin. I'm rejoicing in this good old gospel way. And I am longing for the time when heaven I shall enter in. I am ready, should he call today. Well, when he calls me, I will answer, here am I am ready. If he wants me to die, there's a mansion now awaiting me on high. I am going there by and by. From the world separation. Now I'm walking on God's highway. When he calls, I'll fly, fly away. Well, when he calls, I'll fly. I am going there by and by. I have made my preparation from the world separation. Now I'm walking on God's highway. When he calls, I'll fly, fly away.
Seated. I remember the first time the choir sang that when I was here. They got done with the first part. I came up to give announcements, and then they started singing again. And Paul expected me to sing with them, so I learned my lesson. It is great to have you here with us this morning. If you're visiting with us, we want to say welcome to 12th Street. I'm expecting great things today, and I hope that you are too. If you'll take your bulletin, we have several announcements to go through. Next Sunday is a very special Sunday. We have visiting with us Dr. Carl Baugh, and he is the head of the creation, I just forgot the name of it, It's a museum in Texas. It's a research museum. And there they have one of the world's first, and I believe only right now, hyperbaric biosphere. And he's doing experiments with that. His goal was to try to create a small place with conditions like it would have been like on the Earth before the flood. And he's done some experiments in there, just some amazing things. He's also led 6 dinosaur digs and found a new, not species, but new kind of dinosaur. And so he does it all. And we're so blessed to be able to have Carl Baugh come join us next Sunday. So here's what I want to encourage. If you are in school, whether you're in elementary school, junior high school, or even college, we have some flyers at the Welcome Center, and we had some for the teens to pick up in their Sunday school class. Take one of those and give it to your science teacher and invite them to come out. Dr. Ball will provide a lot of really great science as well as speaking about what the Bible says about creation. And what I love about it is we don't have to shut our minds off to be a Christian. In fact, when you study God's Word deeply, you understand that a lot of the things that we see in the world scientifically, that the Bible is the authority on science. And so I'm looking forward to having Carl come and join us. He will preach on Sunday morning at 10 a.m. So for some of you, that's an hour earlier. It will be worth getting up and being here an hour earlier. And we'll make sure the coffee's extra strong for you. All right, so 10 a.m., and then he'll preach again at 11. Then we'll break together and have lunch. So bring your favorite dish that goes with chicken. The church will provide chicken, and then bring something to go with it, and we'll have a potluck. And then when that's done, Carl will provide a third session and do question and answer. And so it'll be well worth your time. I guarantee you, you'll learn something, and just to understand God's creation a little bit better. So make sure you invite people to come out. And next Sunday morning, we'll just have a great day together with Carl Baugh. On November 25th, this is not in your bulletin, Carl Welburn will be starting with us as the assistant pastor of Connections and Discipleship. And so he'll begin on November 25th. And that'll be his first Sunday with us. And make sure that when you see him and Emily and Evelyn and Tripp, that you greet them and let them know that you're glad that they're joining us. A sad note for those who knew the Forshee family. Evelyn Forshee she passed away a couple weeks ago, 2 Saturdays ago. And the services are going to be held here on December 8th with visitation at noon and the service at 1 p.m., And I know many of you know the Forshees, and so you can participate with those events there. I want to say thank you to those who helped with the Rickman House yesterday. If you provided food or helped serve at the Rickman House, could you just stand up? We want to say thank you to you. It was a great opportunity. Thank you very much. They got to feed the people there, and I saw some pictures of the kids playing board games with them, and they just shared the love of Jesus, and it's a great way to do outreach, and so I appreciate those who are able to do that on Friday night. Next Sunday, the Christmas shoe boxes are due, and so if you're planning on filling up one of the Christmas shoe boxes, they get sent out all over the world, and a gospel track is in each one, and when they're handed out, the gospel story is shared, and so I'm always excited when we can send those out. So make sure that you place a $9 donation this year in the box. That's what it costs them to handle all the shipping of the size of the boxes and everything. So if you could do that, that would be a wonderful help. For the rest of the announcements, please read your bulletins. Today is Veterans Day, and I'm always thankful, especially, you know, when you pray, I hope you take time to thank God for the freedoms we have as Americans. And we live in a very unique country. We have the opportunity to make choices concerning our leadership, concerning our laws. We have an influence as citizens. most of the world's population throughout history has not had those opportunities. But we do, and I think we're blessed to have that. And one of the reasons that we have those freedoms is those who have fought to provide those freedoms for us. And so if you've served in any of the branches of the military, and we would like to just say thank you to you this morning. So if you could stand up, if you served in any branch of the military, if you could just stand up. And we thank you for your service, because we get to enjoy freedom because of you standing between those who would take our freedom away, and we do appreciate you. Let's go to the Lord together in prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day, the Lord's Day. And Lord, this year, the Lord's Day happens to fall on a Veterans Day happens to fall on a Sunday. And I do thank you, Lord, for those who have served in our country to help us to preserve the freedoms that we enjoy. And Lord, today I can preach Jesus Christ and how he showed up in the Old Testament. And I can preach that because we have people who have been willing to serve and give of their life, give a portion of their life. And Lord, we remember those who have given their life in complete, that have died in protecting our freedoms. And we thank you for those who have done that, because it allows us today to preach and teach Jesus Christ. And Lord, we want you to be made great this morning. We aren't here just because it's fun to meet in church, although, Lord, I love the people that are here. We're not here just because we enjoy singing, although I love the songs and I so appreciate our choir and our praise team. Lord, we're here because of you. We want to know you more. We want to better serve you. We want you to receive all the glory that flows out of our lives. So today, Lord, I pray that you would be the good God, the one who sees us in our filthiness and our dirtiness, loves us anyway, and then cleanses us and makes us yours. I pray that we would all embrace that message this morning. Thank you for who you are. Bless this time that we have with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's take a moment and greet those around us.
What'd you do to it? You destroyed it.
I had to turn it on.
This
is the new one that your daddy just got.
Well, I wasn't with him. I was playing the drums in the drum room.
Yeah. These ones you gotta open to turn them on.
That's
All right, as you're making your way back to your seats this morning, remain standing. We're going to open with All Hail the Power. And crown him, Lord.
grace, ye ransomed from the fall. Hail him who saves you by his grace, and crown him Lord of all. Hail him who saves you by his grace, and crown him Lord of all. Oh, that with yonder sacred throne we at his feet may fall, we'll join the everlasting song and crown him Lord of all. We'll join the everlasting song and crown him Lord of all. We'll join and crown him Lord of all.
You bring light to the darkness. You give hope. You restore every heart that is broken. Great are you, Lord. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise, we pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise to you only. You give life, you are love. Bring light to the darkness. You give hope. You restore every heart that is broken. Great are you, Lord. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise, we pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise to you only. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise, we pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs. Hearts will cry, these bones will sing. Great. breath in our love. So we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's your breath in our love. So we pour out our praise to you only. Great are you, Lord. Great are you,
majesty.
grace so free.
Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning, Lord. Father, we are humbled by your majesty and your grace and your love for us. Father, we just pray that as we've worshiped this morning, that our hearts prepared and we're ready for what you have for us today, Father. We just pray you pour your spirit out on the pastor as he brings the message this morning and just use him in a mighty way. Lord, we just pray you forgive us if we've failed you, and we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Would the ushers come forward, please?
Let's go to the Lord in prayer again. Lord, we thank you for allowing us to be here this morning. We pray your blessing upon this service. Lord, we thank you for all the veterans that are here this morning. We pray that you'd bless them. We pray for all the military, Lord, that you'd watch over them and keep them safe. We thank you for the many blessings you've given us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Is this road you're traveling dark, deserted, or dim? Is there hope for tomorrow? Put your trust in Him. On this glory road I'm traveling, many times I stumble on my way, but praise the Lord, I'll soon be leaving for that land of perfect peace and endless day. Now I can see the lights of home, and I can see Him on His throne. I'm too near to turn back now. Oh, praise the Lord, I'm heaven bound. When my journey here shall end, I'll say goodbye to this world of sin. In that fair land, I'll take my stand. It's good to be on this road for glory land. Now I can see the lights of home, and I can see Him on His throne. I'm too near to turn back now. Oh, praise the Lord, I'm heaven bound. When my journey here shall end, I'll say goodbye to this world of sin. In that fair land, I'll take my stand. It's good to be on this road for glory, on this road for glory, on this road for glory land.
Thank you, Tommy. We got a little bit of a little Southern gospel in there, and if you notice, Tommy's got his Alabama tie on. I told him he could still sing. Maybe in 2 months, Michigan can put Alabama in their place. We'll see. Well, at this time, we'll dismiss the children to Children's Church. And let's take our Bibles and turn to the book of Zechariah chapter 3. Zechariah 3. And as we continue our series on when Jesus showed up in the Old Testament. See, a lot of times we think that Jesus came into being or started his work in the New Testament. And that's not true. He actually is God who always has been and always will be. And he showed up in the Old Testament at times for very specific and important purposes. There's a cowboy, his name was Bud, and he was overseeing his herd in a remote mountainous pasture in California, when suddenly a brand new BMW advanced toward him out of a cloud of dust. The driver, a young man in a Brioni suit with Gucci shoes on, Ray-Ban sunglasses, and a YSL tie, leaned out the window and asked the cowboy, "If I tell you exactly how many cows and calves you have in your herd, will you give me a calf?" Bud looks at the man, and obviously a yuppie, then looks at his peaceful, gazing herd and calmly answers, "Sure, why not?" The yuppie parks his car, whips out his Dell notebook computer, connects to his iPhone 10 cell phone, surfs to a NASA page on the internet where he calls up a GPS satellite to get an exact fix on his location, which he then feeds to another NASA satellite that scans the area in an ultra-high resolution photo. The young man then operates the digital photo in Adobe Photoshop and exports it to an image processing facility in Hamburg, Germany. Within seconds, he receives an email on his iPhone that the image has been processed and the data stored. He then accesses an MS SQL database through an ODBC-connected Excel Outlook spreadsheet with an email on his BlackBerry. And a few minutes later, he received a response. Finally, he prints out a full-color 150-page report on his high-tech miniaturized HP LaserJet printer, turns to the cowboy and says, "You have exactly 1,586 cows and calves." "That's right. Well, I guess you can take one of my calves," says Bud. He watches the young man select one of the animals and looks on with amusement as the young man stuffs it into the trunk of his car. Then Bud says to the young man, "Hey, if I can tell you exactly what your business is, will you give me back my calf?" The young man thinks about it for a second and then says, "Okay, why not?" "You're a congressman for the U.S. government," says Bud. "Wow, that's correct," says the yuppie. "But how did you guess that?" "No guessing required," answered the cowboy. "You showed up here even though nobody called you. You want to get paid for an answer I already knew, to a question I never asked. You used millions of dollars worth of equipment trying to show me how much smarter than me you are, and you don't know a thing about how working people make a living, or about cows for that matter. This is a herd of sheep. Now give me my dog back." All right, Zechariah chapter 3. Zechariah chapter 3 and verse 1. "And he showed me Joshua the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to resist him. And the Lord said unto Satan, 'The Lord rebuke thee, O Satan. Even the Lord that has chosen Jerusalem rebuke thee. Is not this a brand plucked out of the fire?' Now Joshua was clothed in filthy garments and stood before the angel. And he answered and spake unto those that stood before him, saying, 'Take away the filthy garments from him.' And unto him he said, 'Behold, I have caused your iniquity to pass from you, and I will clothe you with a change of clothing.' And I said, 'Let them set a fair mitre upon his head.' So they put a clean turban, a clean hat on his head, and clothed him with garments, and the angel of the Lord stood by. And the angel of the Lord protested unto Joshua, saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, if you will walk in my ways, and if you will keep my charge, then you shall also judge my house, and shall also keep my courts, and I will give you places to walk among these that stand by. Hear now, O Joshua, the high priest, you and your fellows that sit before you, for they are men wondered at. For behold, I will bring forth my servant, the branch. For behold, the stone that I have laid before Joshua, upon one stone shall be seven eyes. Behold, I will engrave the graving thereof, says the Lord of hosts, and I will remove the iniquity of that land in one day. In that day, says the Lord of hosts, shall you call every man his neighbor under the vine and under the fig tree. Let's pray before we dive into this. Lord God, I pray that you would bless your word. Bless both the reading and the hearing of it and the application. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. First of all, we need to understand this about Joshua. He represents all of us as New Testament believers. Joshua represents all of us as New Testament believers. Now, here's the scene. Right? I have tried and tried. I've read a whole bunch of commentators, and finally I just said, all right, they don't know nothing either. All right, I don't know, they don't know. Here's what I see. Here's what I imagine. As this scene unfolds, Zechariah is shown inside the holy place. See, once a year, a priest, the high priest, was allowed to go into the presence of the Lord, because the temple had certain sections to it. There was an outer court where the people could come in and watch sacrifice be made on the brazen altar for all the people. Then there's the inner court, and in there are some pieces of furniture that represented different aspects of our Lord. Candlesticks, showbread, and a bowl of water to clean with. Jesus is the bread of life. He cleanses us from our sin. And he is the light to the world. But then inside that, in the Holy of Holies, only one priest one time a year could enter into there and offer a blood sacrifice. And that was the high priest. So we see Joshua, the high priest. Now, when the priest would go in, he had bells and pomegranates. You say, why pomegranates? I don't know. God liked pomegranates, all right? Have you ever looked inside a pomegranate? Pretty cool looking fruit, right? All the little beautiful seeds in there. It's cool. Well, they were around the bottom of his garment, and they had a rope tied to his ankle. Why? Because he'd go in there. And if he was in sin or did wrong, and God struck him dead, they could pull him out without going inside there. Because it was a fearful thing to go into the Holy of Holies. So here we see Joshua the high priest, and he is standing before the Lord. Now, you don't go into the Holy of Holies with any kind of blemish, with any kind of dirt. The priests would wash themselves. They would wash their clothing. When they went in there, they took this as serious could be, because they literally were fearing for their life as they offered a sacrifice, a blood sacrifice, on the mercy seat for the sins of the people. And so they would never, never go in there dirty. So here's the scene that we see. Joshua, the high priest, is standing before the Lord. Zechariah gets this, and he doesn't just see the earthly here. He's seeing all of this in 6D. We see everything in 3D, right? 4D, we get to touch, feel. He's seeing heaven opened up. Because who's standing next to Joshua? The Lord. The angel of the Lord. Who is? Jesus. And not only is Jesus there, there's somebody else is there, and it's Satan. Now, this isn't an illustration or example of the good angel and the bad angel on the shoulder. No, that's not it at all. It's literally Jesus, literally Satan, standing there with the high priest. You say, well, wait a minute. You said that Joshua represents all of us. I do not represent a priest. Let me take you back to the Game Changer theme for 2018. In Revelation chapter 1, we are told that he has made you kings and priests before God and our Father. You are a priest. Joshua here, he is representative of all of us. Because you know what we are able to do today? We go boldly to the throne of grace. And if you're here this morning and you think, oh, I always go clean before the throne of grace, you're a liar. You're deceived. You don't understand. Joshua has done all he can as the high priest to stand before God and be clean. But there is no being clean before God in and of ourselves. So we see Satan standing next to him. In Revelation chapter 12 and verse 10, it says this, I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. That'll be a great day when that happens, right? When Satan is cast down and can no longer accuse us. But you know what Satan does? Exactly what he did to Joshua, and he does it to us today. He stands before God, and he accuses you for all the things that you do wrong. Some of you are going, oh. You mean somebody saw that? Somebody heard that? Yeah, our God sees all. Our God knows all. And every time you fail as a believer in Jesus Christ, you know what Satan does? He looks at God and he says, look at them. They're no good. Look at them fail. Look at them sin. Look at them trample on your sacrifice that you made for them. They're no good. In the book of Job, we see another example of this. In Job chapter 1, verse 9, and chapter 2, verse 5, we won't take time to turn there, but Satan is there in heaven reporting to God because Satan has to report to God. He is not omnipotent, all-powerful. He is not omniscient, all-knowing. He is not able to be everywhere at one time. He can only be in one place at one time. And he has to report to God because God is in control, not the devil. But he's standing before God, and he's accusing Job. And God says, well, have you looked at him? Hey, he's perfect and upright in all his ways. Job says, oh, it's only because you protect him. It's only because you don't let me hurt him. God says, all right, you just can't take his life. And Satan takes everything away from Job. This is what he does as the accuser of the brothers. And you know what he'll do to us sometimes? If God were to allow, he will take everything from you. He'll take your health. He'll take your home. He'll take your family. He'll take everything he can. And all the while he takes it, he's looking for you to slip up just one time and curse God so he can look at God and say, see, they're not real. They're fake. Because here's the next thing we see about Joshua. Joshua was filthy. You know what that tells us? We are filthy. The scripture says this in Isaiah chapter 64, in verse 6. It says, but we are all as an unclean thing. And all our righteousness are as filthy rags. And we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. In the book of Romans chapter 3, it's a little more coarse in the way that it describes us. It says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understands. There's none that seeks after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that does good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher, and with their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is in their lisps, in their lips. Whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. The way of peace have they not known? There is no fear of God in their eyes. I mean, that's a pretty brutal explanation of who we are, isn't it? The truth is, the best I have to offer and the best that you have to offer in our humanity when we stand before God is filthy rags. Joshua the high priest, even though he's cleansed his outward garments and he's done all he can to look pretty so he can go in and offer sacrifice, he is still filthy in his own righteousness, in his own goodness. When my family first moved to Michigan, I actually worked for Adam Workentine's dad for a couple weeks on the pig farm. I learned a lot about pigs, okay? None of it I ever wanted to learn. And the first day I showed up to work with the pigs, they said, "Hey, we're going to cut pigs today." And I'm like, "All right." I had no idea. I thought we'd be slaughtering them or something. No, I wish we were slaughtering them. I wish that's what we were doing. No, I show up and I'm wearing a white tank top, okay? A white tank top and shorts and tennis shoes. And so I get there and I'm like, "All right," it was a hot, hot day. And I'm like, "All right, what are we doing?" They're like, "All right, we're cutting the pigs." We were castrating the pigs. I did not understand that. I was a city boy that grew up in Los Angeles. And then we moved to Michigan with farmers and like real pigs. And we had to take these disgusting creatures and put them in a chute and strap them down. And then, yeah, that was not very pretty. It was terrible. It was disgusting. It was awful. I had blood on my shirt. I had pig poo on my shirt. It was awful. So we actually got done a little bit early. And I was like, "Good, I'm ready to go home." And they're like, "You know, we got a big pile of pig poo in the barn. We need it moved from over here to over here. There's a wheelbarrow and there's a shovel." They did this just to mess with me, okay? They had a bobcat. They could have moved it any other way. They were just messing with me. And so I'm taking my shovel and I'm putting it in the wheelbarrow, moving it over and dumping it. And there's a big pile. And I remember I'm wearing tennis shoes. And they had told me, "You should have wore work boots." I didn't own any work boots. I grew up in the city. We wore tennis shoes and sandals and, you know, you didn't have to mess with pig poo in the city. And so I step and I'm getting a big shovel full and I fall head first into the pile. I got it coming out my ears, out my nose. It was awful. And my white shirt, it was covered in blood and muck and everything before. Now it's just, it's not white anymore. Okay, I get home. And my mom's like, "You're not coming in the house in that." What I was wearing there is exactly the depiction of Joshua the high priest standing before God, as cleaned up the best as he could possibly be on his own. And he's filthy. And it doesn't matter how good we try to be. We are filthy. And this is why Jesus is here in this Old Testament happening. Okay, this is a real account. It really happened. Satan is accusing Joshua because Joshua's filthy. Let me just share this about Joshua's name. Okay, Joshua's name is actually a foreshadowing of the coming Messiah. Okay, that named Joshua as a high priest to show that his parents were people that were looking forward to the coming of the Messiah. Because the word Joshua, Yahshua, that's the name that Jesus bore in Hebrew in the New Testament. So his name, in fact, is just a foreshadow of the coming of Jesus. And as he stands in the temple, he's filthy. I think he thought he was clean. And Satan is pointing out every bit of his filthiness. And Jesus stands up for him. Because this is what Jesus does for you and I. He doesn't sit by idly and let Satan throw his attacks. He doesn't just go, "Oh, yeah, oh boy. Whew, did you see what Tom Layton did? And Jesus goes, oh, yeah, oh. No, that's not what he does. He stands up for us. I'm getting ahead of myself. Jesus describes Joshua as a brand plucked from the fire. You're like, what is that? All right. Have you ever seen, like, when they brand a cow? They heat up a piece of metal, pull it out, and stick it on the ear or on the backside and burn a mark into the cattle. Joshua is a brand plucked from the fire. He's a piece that's been in the fire, pulled out for a purpose. We are delivered from the fire for the purpose of helping others belong to the Lord. We are brands plucked from the fire. This is in the book of Jude. As Jude writes this really long one-chapter book, he talks about how we are to be snatching people from the fire. Here's what we understand about ourselves. If you've come to know Jesus as your Savior, you have been plucked, snatched from the fire. But now what you do is you carry with you the responsibility to brand others with the mark of Jesus. My mom and dad, from the earliest I can remember, took the brand of Jesus and were trying to make sure I was branded with Jesus. Now I had to choose to trust Christ as my Savior. They couldn't do that for me. And then I was at a camp when I was 12 years old, and I heard Mr. Nelson preach. He was actually a history teacher at my school. And while he was preaching, God just gripped my heart. And that night I was laying in bed, and I could, just the conviction from God, it weighed so heavy. I could not say no to him that night. I had every intention of going and joining in a pillow fight. We had a big pillow fight planned at camp that night. I had actually loaded my pillowcase with batteries. I was ready. I was going to win the pillow. I needed to be saved, right? And I'm laying there on my bed, and I feel the conviction of God. And that night, he branded me. I'm a brand plucked from the fire. You know what my job and know what your job is? Go brand somebody else. That's what we're supposed to be doing. Joshua was a brand plucked from the fire. He was one who offered sacrifice for the sins of Israel, but he had no power in that sacrifice. He was filthy and dirty, but his job was to take what he had and share it with others. So Jesus makes us clean. Jesus made Joshua clean. He gave him new clothing. Okay, we're not talking about physical clothing here. If you'll notice, I'm not wearing a $600 suit. Okay? And that's intentional. I don't own a $600 suit. I have a couple $200 suits. Got an $89 suit. That's a good deal on that one. Because it's not the outward clothing that we're talking about here with Joshua, the clothing that he was given, the outward clothing was just a symbol of what God did to him internally. See, it wasn't Joshua's righteousness that allowed him to stand clean. It was the righteousness of Jesus, and he said, I will clothe you with my clothing. I will put my righteousness on you. And when he did that, Joshua was clean. And what did Joshua do? The only thing I've seen him do in this entire account is he's standing there. I don't know if he's got his thumb in his nose or I don't know what he's doing. He's just standing there. And it's Jesus who says, I make you clean. And so if you're fighting and trying and you're working as hard as you can to be clean, Jesus will do it for you. We see another big thing. The first thing that we saw is Joshua is representative of all of us. The second big theme that we see in this passage is we see this angel of the Lord. He's also called the branch. And in my Bible, it's all capitals, capital B-R-A-N-C-H, all capitals. He's also called the stone there. They are all Jesus. The angel of the Lord, the branch, and the stone are all Jesus. Let me read to you from the book of Isaiah and Jeremiah, a couple verses, because Jeremiah and Isaiah both referred to Jesus in the same way that Zechariah does here. In Isaiah 4, 2, it says, "In that day shall the branch of the Lord be beautiful and glorious, and the fruit of the earth shall be excellent and comely for them that are escaped of Israel." In Isaiah 11, 1, "And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots." Here's the thing about the angel of the Lord. He is a branch. Well, what's a branch? Well, you have this root system that was originally in Abraham, then Isaac, then Jacob, then the 12 tribes, but not all 12 of the tribes are in this branch, or they all came out of the root system, but the specific root is through Judah, and then from Judah it goes to Jesse, from Jesse to David, and from David to Jesus. And so this branch that grows up out of this root is the branch. And what makes that branch so special is not the people that he came from, but who he is and what he will accomplish. Sometimes we think about Israel and we think, oh, what a special group of people. Let me tell you, the only thing that made them special was Jesus was chosen to come through them. And you know what makes us special? Jesus came to save us. He came to cleanse us. He came to free us. And he came to pull us from the fire so we can brand others for him. In Jeremiah 23:5, it says, "Behold, the days come, says the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch. And a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth." And then in Jeremiah 33:15, "In those days and at that time will I cause the branch of righteousness to grow up unto David, and he shall execute judgment and righteousness in the land." And then in Zechariah 6:12, just a few chapters from beyond what we've read today in Zechariah, he says, "Speak to him, saying, Thus speaks the Lord of hosts, saying, Behold, the man whose name is the branch, and he shall grow up out of his place, and he shall build the temple of the Lord." The branch is a really important concept for us to understand because he has a lineage that was promised to the world. And because he has that lineage that was promised to the world, we can identify who he is specifically. His name's not Muhammad. His name's not Joseph Smith. His name is not Buddha. His name is not anything other than Jesus Christ. He is the branch. He's also called the stone in this passage in Zechariah 3. In Psalm 118 and verse 22, it says, "The stone which the builders refused is become the headstone of the corner." When Rachel and I had a chance to go to Israel a few years ago, they showed us cornerstones for the walls and for the buildings there. So this cornerstone, it's this mammoth, huge stone that they cut out, and then they would actually literally slide it down the mountainside to where they needed it to be. And it was so mammoth and huge, when it was put in place, the rest of the building was built on that. That was the starting point, and that was the stabilizing force behind the rest of the building. Jesus is the stone. Our entire faith is built on him. Everything that we believe is resting on his strength, on his power. And this is why all religions can't come together and coexist. Because Jesus is the way singular, the truth singular, and the life. And no man comes to the Father except through Jesus. That's it. In Matthew 21, 42, Mark 12, 10, Luke 20, verse 17, Jesus quotes the verse I just read from Psalm 118, the stone which the builders refused is become the headstone of the corner. Then in Acts 4:11 and in 1 Peter 2:7, Peter will refer to Jesus as that stone. And you see, this idea that Jesus is the stone, it was so important for Zechariah, first of all, to bring out and talk about. And then for the rest of Scripture, all the way through the New Testament, they refer back and say, Jesus is that cornerstone. And so the simple question for you and I is your life built on that cornerstone of Jesus? If it's not, today is the day where Jesus is telling you, come and confess your sin. Come and believe that Jesus died on the cross, he was buried, and he rose again. And he's coming back. And when you believe in him, he will take your life and he'll begin building your spiritual foundation for the rest of your life on himself as the cornerstone. And the passage kind of ends here. Read with me the last verse in Zechariah chapter 3. It says here, in that day, says the Lord of hosts, shall you call every man his neighbor under the vine and under the fig tree. Jesus makes us clean so that we can abide in him, the vine. This is another really, Zechariah is just full of these analogies. And in Zechariah 3, we get so many of these analogies about who Jesus is put out there for us. He is the vine. We are the branches. Anybody who abides in him, what does it mean to abide? Abide means remain, stay. That we will produce the fruit that he wants us to. And so, all those who are in the vine will grow up producing that fruit. And that's just such a comforting and beautiful thought. If you are in Jesus, he will produce his fruit in you. So Jesus shows up for Joshua the high priest. Satan accuses him, but Jesus cleanses him. And that all applies to us today. Talk about a game changer moment in Scripture. Before Jesus came and died, while there was a priest who's offering sacrifice, Jesus shows to Zechariah this vision so he can see exactly how even those Old Testament sacrifices worked. It wasn't about the blood of a bull or a goat or a sheep that was being offered. That wasn't where forgiveness was found. Forgiveness was found in who Jesus is and his sacrifice that he would make. If you've never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, today is the day to do it. And if you have trusted Jesus Christ, you are clean. Everybody say that. I am clean. That's pretty awesome, isn't it? I mean, just to think, I'm not clean because of me. I am clean because of him. Because Jesus is my branch, and I hang on to that branch. And Jesus is the stone, and my life is built on that stone. And Jesus is the vine, and all the power and nourishment and fruit that I produce, it's all because he does that through me. And he'll do it through you. Lord God, I thank you so much for all that you have shown us through your word. And Lord, today, this is just so awesome to know that we're clean because of you. Thank you, Lord, that my righteousness is not what you're looking at to judge me and determine whether or not I'm clean, but you're looking at what you have done for me. And you look at me and you look at everybody here who's trusted you and you say, you are clean. And when Satan accuses, I thank you, Jesus, that you stand up and you say, no, I have forgiven. And when Satan says that we are filthy, that you, Jesus, you clothe us with your righteousness and you say, no, Satan, they are clean because I said they are clean. And so, God, thank you for what you have done. Help us to celebrate that this morning. Help us to find joy and encouragement. Help us to find peace and comfort, knowing that you are the God who shows up to show us who you are and how much you love us. Thank you today for making us clean. Lord, if there's anyone here who's never trusted you, I pray that as we sing this closing song, that you'd give them the courage just to come and shake my hand and tell me that they want to trust you. Lord, this morning they can leave with their life built on the foundation of Jesus Christ. They can leave today clean because of what you have done. Do a wonderful work, Lord Jesus, I pray. Amen. Let's stand together as we sing about Jesus as the cornerstone of our life. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and his righteousness. And if you'd like to trust Christ as your Savior, I'll be standing here at the front. I'd love to talk to you about that. Let's sing it out to the Lord.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong in the Savior's love. Through the storm, he is Lord, Lord. Rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil.
Today, make sure that at least get on your calendar, grab one of those flyers, make sure you think of somebody that you can invite to come out next Sunday as Dr. Carl Baugh joins us. It's going to be a great, great Sunday. Bring a notebook. You'll probably fill it up with notes because it's going to be very informative, and I'm really looking forward to it. Lord God, I thank you so much that this morning as we leave here, we don't leave with confidence in who we are. Lord, we leave with confidence in who you are, You are the rock who has never been moved. You are the branch who can never be cut off. And you are the vine who will continually grow. And God, you will use us to complete and finish that work in other people. Help us to go out from here and be brands that have been plucked out of the fire and brand other people with the truth of Jesus. So, Lord, to you be all the praise and glory. You are, you were, and you are to come. And so we give you praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The Lord bless you. Serve him.